Lesson number 7, slaying the Goliath of the self. What is virtue and what is not virtue? He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Matthew 10:41. Civilization that has given the promise to man of a healthy, happy, satisfying, and full life has led him into the desert of fear and insecurity. There is no such thing as security. The only security is in the realization of the self, that inner self that is in every other self. There is no security in the outer self or anything that belongs to the outer self, because it all passes away. We see clearly then that our relationship to one another is the most important thing in our lives, because our relationship to our neighbor is our relationship to God. If you are unkind to your neighbor, you are unkind. If you are violent, you are violent. But if you know that you are unkind, if you know that you are violent, then you can put a stop to it. And you can also understand why you are violent, because you realize the foundation of your thinking and the structure upon which your thinking is built. The present machine and power age has given to small minorities the tremendous privilege of domination of the individual, which, combined with monopolistic financial autocracy, has put in the hands of a few the power of economic life and death over whole nations. The reaction of the individual is towards the organization of strong protective groups. Thus labor and other councils have been born, leading towards communistic ideals. We see then that there is no relationship between one another, and because there is no true relationship, there can never be any solving of our problem. Our problems can only be solved when there is true relationship between one another. Civilization that has given this age advanced medical scientific knowledge is now striving to cope with an overwhelming breakdown of the health of the peoples of the world. We see it everywhere. Show me a truly healthy individual, one in a thousand. Where is something wrong with nearly everyone? And why is that? Because we have no true relationship between one another. We try to be virtuous, trying to be respectable. That is our virtue, but it is an illusion and a bondage. The storehouse of the mind of man had promised a wealth of beauty in word, thought, and deed, but man has been deceived and misled and finally deserted in the wilderness of confusion. The failure to maintain mental balance in the face of stress and strain of modern conditions is evidenced by the fact that on an average of 1 out of every 5 people enter a mental hospital as a case, and the breakdowns in health are double that number. How are we to solve our problems under those conditions? We were going to see clearly and distinctly that confusion in the mind causes all our troubles. Causes our troubles in our bodies, in our circumstances, and in the world. If your mind is confused, then your body will suffer. If you are antagonistic, You are sure to suffer in one way or another. Your organs cannot stand the strain. Your mind becomes confused. Your brain cells, both the cerebrum and the cerebellum, become affected. Then when the cerebellum is affected, your glands, your heartbeat, and all these other automatic activities of your body is affected. Then your body talks back. And when your body talks back, you become afraid, and the vicious circle is set in. Why? Because you're ignorant of the cause. If you understood the cause, then you could remove the cause. But because you are ignorant of the cause, you are still caught up in this vicious circle that is destroying yourselves and the whole of humanity. The spiritual aspect of human life has been broken up and confused. In the clash of personalities, and is perplexed with the many dogmas and creeds, ideals and beliefs, fighting each other in the pursuit of domination, like a raft of logs in a placid river, being overwhelmed and scattered by a blast of an invisible hurricane, and now caught up in a bank of mud of hate and superstition. So is the world not caught up in a bank of mud of hate and superstition? Every nationality in the world at the present time is antagonistic to another. Every country has antagonisms between their own political groups. We see the various churches who are preaching God and Christ's teachings are antagonistic to one another. We see the narrow-minded individuals who want to be virtuous, and yet their virtue is evil, because they're always seeing evil. They're living in and eating the fruit of the tree of good and evil. It is said clearly that this tree of good and evil you shall not eat the fruit of. This is the tree that grows out of man's own mind, what he thinks of things. Therefore he's living in duality, living in opposite. How are you going to get out of these opposites if you're caught up in these opposites, which are causing confusion in your mind? Paul says very clearly, as soon as I think of good, evil is there, showing clearly and distinctly that if you live in the world of opposites, you will be confused. Unless your eye be single, you cannot be free. Civilization indeed stands accused at the bar of human suffering. Why is this, and what of the future of mankind? The solution is not to be found through conferences, blueprints, and through the substitution of new leaders for old, and so on. The solution obviously lies in the creators of the problem, in the creators of the mischief, of the hate, and the enormous misunderstanding that exists between human beings. The creator of this mischief, of these problems, is the individual. You and I are not the world as we think of it. For we are civilization. We are the world. The world is your relationship with each other, for the world is not separate from you and me. The world society is the relationship that we establish or seek to establish between one another. The world is a projection of ourselves, and to understand the world, we must understand ourselves, no matter how we might try to excuse ourselves by putting the blame somewhere else. The problem remains the same, the understanding of the self. We see clearly that the temple of life we create mostly on the material, emotional, and scientific planes has increased during the last decade. The pendulum has swung too far without the compensating balance of a developed mental and spiritual consciousness. We see clearly that the material age, which is spiritual in nature, because there is no difference between the spiritual and the material, the one is the manifestation of the other, but without the understanding of the cause, without understanding the underlying principles, man is caught up in the effects that he sees. And he's using these effects, as it were, two ways. He's using them for the destruction of mankind, more so than he's using for the development of mankind and for the protection of mankind. He's lost his spiritual understanding to use the powers placed in his hand for the benefit of mankind. Instead of that, we find these antagonisms, these divisions in nationalities, in groups, in ideals, in beliefs, and ideologies, which are creating a division in men everywhere. And what we see is this: without spiritual understanding, without a mental and a spiritual consciousness, man is doomed. What is the answer? Are you going to wait for the next man to have the answer? Then the answer will never come. It is you and me. We have always to realize the great truth ourselves, that we are the ones that must set in motion the transformation of ourselves, so that that transformation, that power that is within ourselves, will continue to wave outwardly in that radio waves of the human and spiritual consciousness into a world to help others to reach and understand what we have grasped at this very moment. And if you can grasp this now, being, not becoming, you become, you will never become. Truth is now. It isn't tomorrow or the next day. Truth is now. And you are now. You are truth. You are being. You can't be being tomorrow or the next day if you're not being now. Therefore, becoming is an illusion. Thus, the destructive mental outlook of the individual has become a crystallized basis for human reaction. The emotion of fear, envy, greed, selfishness, and vanity has created a confused mental condition which prohibits constructive and creative reaction. The result is the slow but sure outpicturing on the physical plane we see in the world today. Is it not so that the mass of individuals has created higher false values of temporal and temporary things, while only a few seek the ecstasy and enthusiasm of peace, love, and harmony in spiritual understanding? But spiritual understanding only comes through the process of understanding ourselves, which is not an isolating process. You have not to isolate yourself to understand yourself. In your relationship with your neighbor, you will understand yourself, because that relationship is a self-revealing process if you're wide awake. You will understand your own thoughts, your feelings, what they are. Therefore, when you see yourself, what you are, that is virtue. Not by trying to believe that you are something that you are not and trying to cover up what you are, that is not virtue. But that is considered to be virtue. But you see, it's a lie. To be is to be related to one another. Therefore, there is no such thing as living in isolation. Because there is but one life, one God, one being, one truth. There is no separation in God, there is no division in God, because He's infinite in nature. If there was any division and separation in the Father, He could not be infinite in nature, because there was somewhere where He was not. If you or I did not exist in Him, and every other human being or every other thing exists in Him, He could not be infinite, because there would be something or somewhere where He was not. Therefore, He must be within you and me and every other thing as well. He must be omnipresent, present everywhere, and there can be nowhere where He is not present. If it was not so, He could not be infinite in nature. We know then that there is but one, and in this one there is no division that exists in man's mind, brought about by his own ideas, his beliefs. But a belief is not a reality. A belief is something in your mind, just as an idea is, self-created. But I am alive and living. You are alive and living too. You are life and I am love. That is the common ground upon which we exist. And not in a belief, or an idea, or an ideal, or a theory. But you quarrel over these things because they are illusions, they are false. You cannot quarrel over the truth that you and I are alive, and it's the same life, the same God. Science has proved that there is no division in matter. There can be no division between that flower and me. There can be no division between you and me. Science has proved there is a basic substance that permeates the whole of the universe, and they call it the ether of space. They say ether then is the basis of all matter. It penetrates and supports every atom. Ether in its nature is quiescent until it's brought into operation by the consciousness. And if consciousness set in motion these electromagnetic vibrations, which flips into operation what we call the etherons, to form into groups. And these groups then become atoms, and the combination of atoms become matter. But the same ether interpenetrates them all. And by your own thought force, by your own electromagnetic vibration, we interpenetrate the very walls of the atom of our body, and externalize them through our circumstances and into the world beyond. See, a radio station can magnetize the whole of the ether at one moment, because in all directions these electromagnetic waves are flowing outwardly, up the stratosphere, down into the bowels of the earth, and right across both horizontal and perpendicular at one and the same time. And you can hear a broadcast all over the world at one and the same time. With the same power that you have within you, you also do the same thing. And what is happening to the world today is that no one understands the power of man himself, that he is broadcasting from himself ill will, hate, antagonism, that are not only breaking down the structure of his own body, but are breaking down the structure of the human family. So to be is to be related, and there is no such thing as living in isolation. It is the lack of right relationship that brings about conflict, misery, and strife. If we can create true relationships, in however small our world may be, it will be like a wave extending outwards all the time. If we can bring about the transformation of our relationship with one another, not a superficial, but a radical transformation, then we will begin to actively transform the world which is ourselves. But real revolution is not in accordance with any particular pattern, either off the right or the left, but a revolution of values. A revolution of values away from temporal and temporary things and influences of environment to values of that which is eternal and ever-present. What we see then surrounding us everywhere is relative things which we can see through our senses. We see and hear and feel through our senses. We take for granted that this is a reality, when it is nothing of the kind. It's a relative thing. Reality is that which is behind all creation. And without an understanding that this reality is your own consciousness, your own real consciousness, because the consciousness of God cannot be any other but the consciousness of man. And the consciousness of man can be none other but the consciousness of God, because of the fact there can be no other consciousness but God's consciousness, He being infinite in nature. Therefore we see clearly that unless man discerns all himself and what he is, he can never be free. He will be caught up in the realm, in his hate, in his anger, his jealousies, his divisions, his nationalities, and all the rest of it. And he is destroying himself and destroying the human family at the same time. To find these true values that will bring about a radical transformation and regeneration, it is essential to understand ourselves. Self-knowledge is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, the beginning of transformation and regeneration. This understanding is spreading to all parts of the world, but it is not as deep as it should be to become an uplifting force, because although most of us are discontented, our discontent is merely a channel to bring about a certain result instead of setting us aflame, causing us to question life and the whole process of existence. Therefore, it is more important to us to find these things out for ourselves, because self-knowledge cannot be given to us by another, nor is it found in any book, nor is the mere cordial wish to find out about oneself of much value. There must be deep discernment of our thoughts, motives, and actions. When the fever of hate abates, we will feel the strength of that which of itself is love, the only influence that will bring a new world era. I do not want to waste too much time tonight, because it's a long lecture on each parable. But what I want you to think now is to read 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. And there you will find what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. But you must read it with understanding. You must apply it to yourself, at the same time searching your own minds to see if these things apply to you, which they do, because they apply to every human soul. And it is not to read it, as it were, skimming over it, but take each verse at a time and think about it deeply, by searching then your own mind, so that you'll be able to understand yourself. Therefore, love is the only influence that will bring about a new world era. Even if it only be a little pebble out of the brook of love at first, it will slay the Goliath of world selfishness and hate. It will grow. It becomes like a little seed that is planted in the ground, a seed that is planted in the soul. That seed becomes one of the greatest trees that are. The smallest seed in the world becomes the largest. Therefore, so it is with man himself. It grows, and it grows through understanding. You will not capture all the love that you should capture at this very moment. But you will find it coming into your life, because love is an eternal thing. It isn't something that you have to create. It is something that you capture in yourself. It comes into your soul as you begin to discern and understand yourself, understand what you are and what you are not. Things that appeal to the five senses mind are not realities. They are misleading and illusionary. They are temporary and temporal. They are only of value to the individual while they are the object of material and emotional desire, which often leads to conflict and antagonism. The mind of man is confused with crystallized concepts, conflicts, ideas, dogmas and creeds and nationalities that only add further distorted reactions to our experiences. Our experiences, what are they? You step into your mind and you will find what your experiences are. Your experiences are your reactions, your memories, your conditions, your environment, and how you're reacting to those conditions. That's your experience. And your experiences then become further destructive, distorted, and destructive reactions because you do not understand yourself. To follow truth, you cannot be tethered. Therefore, to know yourself, there must be an awareness and alertness of mind in which there is freedom from all beliefs and ideals, because beliefs and ideals only give you a color preventing true perception. The mind of man is confused with crystallized concepts. From this basis springs up the race mind, which breeds the seed of war. From our experiences, our further reactions to further and more destructive experiences. And here we see the race mind and we see the seed of war. Seed of war is within ourselves. To pursue an ideal leads you away from what you are, and this is but an escape. You're trying to escape the issue, to look at yourself, to see really what you are. Therefore, you create an ideal of what you should be. Do you think you can find out what you are under those circumstances? It's impossible. You're only covering up for yourself and trying to escape from what you really are. But if you know what you really are, you can free yourselves. That freedom is virtue. It prevents you from discovering what yourself is. If you want to know what you are, you cannot have a belief in what you are not. If I am greedy, envious, violent, merely to have an ideal of non-violence is of little value. But to know that one is greedy and violent, to know and understand it, requires deep perception. It demands honesty and clarity of thought. In this alone there is freedom. Then if I do not know what I am myself, and I cannot look at myself, I'm trying to escape from that which I am. Therefore I can never free myself. That's what every person is trying to do today, and that's what the churches are trying to do. The priests and the parsons are doing it all the time. So the understanding of what you are, whether it may be ugly or beautiful, kind or unkind, the understanding of what you are without distortion is the beginning of virtue. Without distortion. Without trying to excuse yourself, without passing it over, without judgment, without fear, by looking at it clearly and distinctly, then you will know what it is. You will know what the cause is, because the cause is the foundation of your thinking. The foundation of your thinking is based upon your nationality, your beliefs, your ideals, your selfishness, and all that is separation between man and man. And this is, you look clearly and distinctly and understand what it is, then it will drop away from you and you will be free. You will see the cause of the basis of your thinking, the cause of what you are, your education, your traditions, your so-called society, your so-called respectability. What is respectability? Covering up that which you are not. You're covering up these things which are preventing the expression of reality. But if you discern what they are, they will fall away from you. Then reality will express itself, because it is itself eternal and ever-present. It is freedom. So the understanding of what we are, whether it may be ugly or beautiful, kind or unkind, the understanding of what you are without distortion is the beginning of virtue. Virtue that merely brings out respectability is not understanding and freedom. Being virtuous and becoming virtuous are two different things. Being virtuous comes through understanding what you are. Becoming virtuous is covering up of what you are. To merely have an ideal of what you are not is not virtue. But coming face to face with what you are is virtue. Virtue is an understanding of what you are. Therefore, bring freedom, while so-called virtue is illusion and bondage. Therefore, see if you are covering up what you are. Tap into your own minds and see, and you will realize the cause of these things, and look upon them as you look upon a screen, seeing these things pass before you, without condemnation, without distortion, without fear, without judgment, then you will know what was in your mind. But immediately you're caught up in judgment or fear or distortion, you're caught up in the image. When you see these things, you will know that they are not reality. They don't belong to the real self that is God. They belong to the outer self. That is an illusion, caught up in the side senses, in the world of the dead, in greed, antagonisms and separation, nationalities and the like. There you will understand yourself there. Then you will see that these things will fall from you. Then the real self that is created will come forward, because it is eternal and ever. It is love, peace, and harmony. It is the Christ of God that lives in every human soul, waiting to get that expression through man, so that man will live in a world of peace and harmony, brought about and built for that part, the kingdom of God. Therefore, virtue is an understanding of what you are. Therefore, bring freedom, while so-called virtue is illusion and bondage. If you do not know what you are, what are your hindrances to the expression of reality, striving to become virtuous will not make you virtuous. Reality can only be found in understanding what you are, and to understand what you are brings freedom, freedom from fear of what you are or what is. Therefore, there is no fear of what you are or what is. You have found reality. These things pass away. To make mantras and continue making mantras from morning to night is only covering up what you are. What you get, nothing. You believe in your mantra. You make a god of your mantra. You're led into illusion. But you see, there is only one living thing in existence. The more mantras you make, the more opposition you make. For every time you say, a certain thing, a positive thing about yourself, the negative thing is there also. And the more positive you are about it, the more negative is the power of it as well, because you're living in opposites. How can you escape then these opposites? By knowing them, by understanding them, by understanding yourself, your fears. If you have no fear, you have no opposites. If you have no fear, you have no craving. If you have no fear, you have no division. And when you have no fear, you have love and wisdom. Virtue is not a matter of time. Virtue is freedom, immediate release. Is this a matter of time? Are you kind, generous, affectionate through the process of time? Will you be kind today after tomorrow? Can kindness be thought of in terms of time? Affection, mercy, generosity are the true expressions of life. They are the only solution for all our problems. But so-called virtue cannot solve any problem. Therefore, there is no virtue in becoming, only in being now. And you must understand what being is. Tomorrow never comes. There is a period sometimes when the mind is silent. There is a flash of a second of being. For a split second, it exists in your mind. Your consciousness has become aware. When that split second is passed, it is memory, it is experience. But the renewal of that split second continuously is reality, is being. Now, it's the renewal of the eternal now in man. That is being. God is now. He doesn't have to become God. Are you trying to become? Therefore, you're going the wrong way. If I know I am being, when I know myself, I know all the characteristics of what I am. I know what I am in my own heart, and I accept my heart, and I see what I am. What do I do when I see what I am? Am I afraid of that future self, that outer self? I'm afraid of these things, to look at them? Of course not. Take them out and look at them. Clear the mind of them. Because reality is eternal and ever-present. Then in that state of being, you will know your brother. And your relationship will be a self-revealing process continuously afterwards. These lessons are given for the purpose of creating pure thinking. And only in pure thinking can there be freedom. A teller or a student must first free his or her own mind before realization of the truth comes. This is the first step. Can you say then that you have goodwill towards all? But goodwill is essential. Otherwise we can never solve our problem. Have your politicians, your leaders in religious and commerce, goodwill towards all? If they have not goodwill, how can their followers have goodwill towards all? Then what is the use of conferences and the like? Without goodwill, which is real affection, and without it, we can never solve our problem. And you're trying to solve your problem, and you think that your problems can be solved by one party or another. When you get one party out and another party in, you're going to solve your problems. That your leaders are going to solve your problems. Your leaders are yourself. And if you do not understand yourself, you could never solve your problem. Your leaders are but the projection of your own thoughts and feelings. So most of us, like politicians and the vast majority of humans, are unkind. They have not got the goodwill that is the only solution to all problems. And since they have not goodwill, it cannot be a mere question of time whether there will be goodwill tomorrow or 10 years hence. God is not waiting for goodwill or becoming that is going to solve our problem. But the immediate present, we can solve our problem by knowing what we are. Violent, greedy, nationalistic, selfish. We see what the self is. Now, if kindness and mercy are not a matter of time, why is it that we are not kind now? If we can understand why we are not kind, this understanding being immediate, we shall be kind immediately. If you understand now why you are not kind, you will be kind immediately. You will understand yourself. The problems are yourselves, not the leader. Then we will forget what nationality we are, to what religion we belong, what our differences are. We will be immediately generous and kind. My intention to be kind is futile if I do not know the cause of my unkindness, of what it is that makes me unkind. And if I am unkind to one, unkind to another, I am not a kind person. If you are kind to one individual and unkind to another individual, can you say that you are a kind person? You must understand why you are unkind to one and kind to another. There must be deep perception of your own thoughts and actions. But this only relieves you of all your troubles within your body and your soul and your mind, but relieves your environment and helps your neighbor. And the freedom that you have will enable the reality itself to express itself through the instrument it created for that part. And you become one, as it were, with Christ. At this moment, bringing about a better understanding between man and man. You are bringing nearer the kingdom of God on earth. That kingdom is established now, at this very moment. But it is selfishness of man and the ignorance of man is preventing its immediate establishment. Therefore, I must know the whole process of my thinking and upon what my thoughts are built. When I see the falseness of the structure, it will immediately fall away. So the study of oneself becomes more important than becoming virtuous. This study must be continuous if we would have goodwill now and always. We must not study merely to achieve a result, because if we seek a result, we put an end to inquiry, to discovery, to freedom. Therefore, it must be a continuous progress, a continuous inquiry, a continuous awareness, a continuous alertness. All the time, discovering yourself and discerning your thoughts and your actions, then they will fall away in you. That is the Christ of God. The more we know of ourselves, our passions, our greeds, our emotions, our hates, etc., and the cause of them, the more deeply we know ourselves. Through this knowing comes freedom. A liberation from the entanglements of fear, which brings about beliefs, dogmas, nationalism, ideologies, and hideous inventions of the mind that keep itself isolated and in fear. Great words of Jesus, where he says, fear not, fear not. All the thing was to get fear out of the mind of his disciples, so that love could be established. Therefore, you need not fear to look into your own hearts and see what is there. Yes, there has been in your heart murder many times.
There's been killings in your heart
many a time, but you shudder to look at it. It couldn't be you. It couldn't be the self that you are that could think those things. But it has been. And unless you can look at them freely and distinctly without fear, without shuddering, without judgment, you can never be free. The self, outer self, is but an illusion. It's a result, the reactions of the five senses. It's your memories and your experiences that make up the other self, the greeds, the antagonisms. And when they are all understood, they pass away, dissolve into nothing. That which is real is there to take its place. Always, because it is ever present. When there is freedom, there is the discovery of that which is eternal. Without this freedom, merely asking what is eternal, or reading books about the eternal, has no value at all. The eternal God, or whatever name you like to call it, which is not a name, or a word, or an idea, can only be discovered by yourself. It comes into being when the mind is free, unfettered by beliefs, by prejudice, not caught up in the net of ill will, nationalities, and the like. A mind so caught up is not prepared to receive. There can be no harmony. There can be no virtue. So our so-called virtue is covering up these things.
The discovery of truth
brings true and lasting happiness. And discover there must be an understanding of oneself. Therefore the whole self is not for an answer to the problem, but an understanding of the self which is the problem. Therefore, to merely change the pattern of the outer without understanding our inner thought feelings has very little value in our world today. When the inner transformation takes place, then the outer can be transformed with intelligence, with compassion, with care, goodwill, and understanding. And the outer then will be a real outer. Transformed with intelligence, with compassion, with care, goodwill, and understanding. First of all, the inner must be transformed first, and the inner can only be transformed by knowing what you are at that point. The world which is ourselves can only be raised in consciousness in the first instance by the action of the individual. Then the seeker who seeks out his or her own hindrances is helping humanity and will attain the Christ consciousness now in performing a significant part in bringing ever nearer the kingdom of God on earth. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10, 37. And the true meaning is this. Mother and father, sons and daughters, they are relative. But the Christ is not relative. The Christ is a reality that exists in every human soul. Both in father, mother, son, and child, and daughter. Therefore, it is to look further than the outside, and there see the beauty of that which exists within. But that beauty cannot be seen clearly if the self is covered up by a so-called virtue, by trying to make yourself respectable, while in your heart there is evil. Unless you discern clearly and distinctly what is in your heart, then I say these things will fall away because you will fear them no more. And there Christ is. And he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
Benediction.
O eternal beloved, thy nature is born in every soul, yet covered up with the ignorant self. When I discern the nature of the self that covered up thy beauty, I was freed. Then I found that this freedom alone was virtue. What I thought was virtue was but an illusion in which I was bound, for there was no virtue in the self. But now, O Eternal One, I am free through understanding myself. Without condemnation, without fear, I found freedom and love. Then I found thee, my eternal beloved. This is my virtue, O eternal, ever-present one.